Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time now to take our conversation to the hardwood for some NBA talk, some news and notes on the New York Knicks, and such an honor to have with us on this Friday night Basketball Hall of Famer and perhaps the only guy who can rival Russell Westbrook or a Chris Paul as the NBA's best dressed. No one does it better than Walt Clyde Frazier, who I must share I had the divine opportunity to meet this summer at the NBA Summer League out in Las Vegas, and it was such an honor to meet him. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us, Walt.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, let's get right to it, because what an offseason for the New York Knicks. I mean, there were a number of areas within the team and the organization that needed to be addressed, starting at the top. I mean, the Knicks were very aggressive. They hired a proven winner, a strong personality, and leader in Phil Jackson. This was a long time coming, his connection to the Knicks. Your thoughts on the impact that Phil has had with the organization, with the team, and getting the Knicks back into the conversation as a relevant team and positioning themselves to contend?
Well, obviously he brought credibility coming in with the championship rings, and we were happy to welcome him back home. I mean, he was my teammate early in the 70s when the Knicks won their two championships, so I don't think it could be a better matchup. The timing was exquisite. You know, Jackson has been away from the game. He needed a little rejuvenation, a new destination, and so we were all delighted that he chose the Knicks to try to turn it around.
You know, Walt, you bring up a great point, because I was going to say, what does that mean for you personally to reunite with a former teammate? I mean, he knows the expectations that the Knicks have, and as you were talking about, I mean, he was part of that championship team way back in 73.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in New York, this is so demanding. The expectations are always there, so it's not like a newcomer coming in and not knowing the nuances of New York and what the people expect here. He knows he's been to the top, and so that means a lot as far as acquiring the players that he thinks can take this team back to their former Grand Tour.
Well, we want to talk about some of those offseason moves and the acquisitions, but obviously at the forefront and the big storyline was Carmelo Anthony, and persuading Carmelo to stay with the Knicks. He signs that, what, five-year, $129 million deal, and he's got that renewed focus, that commitment that you got to give a lot of credit to Phil to keeping him right there in New York.
Yeah, plus Melo, I thought once he weighed all of his options, this was the place. I mean, the money was here, commitment to bringing in players to try to make this team a championship team. And it seemed like he and his family liked being in New York City, so I thought it was a good matchup, and obviously we are delighted that Melo decided to return.
Knicks legend, Basketball Hall of Famer Walt Clyde Frazier is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. We want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And one of the things I've loved hearing about with Carmelo, he's got this renewed focus, his commitment. When he posted a shot on Instagram on this low-carb diet, he's trimmed down. And if you're a Knicks fan, you have got to be really excited, because he understands with the new system that Coach Fisher's bringing in, you got to be playing faster, right?
Well, I think last year he realized that he led the league to the minutes scoring. I mean, the minutes played right there near the top, and scoring is very demanding. And you see what James has been able to accomplish by being in superb conditioning. So Melo dedicated himself. I thought last year was his best shape that I've seen him in. So, you know, he improved his rebounding. We mentioned the scoring. He improved his defense. So I thought those were the things that really galvanized him and wanted him to be in better shape coming into this season.
You know, I thought it was interesting, too. I was listening into one of your conversations that you had with Phil Jackson. It was one of the interviews. And Phil brought up some great points. He was talking about the importance of him coming on board to get these players to understand getting back to basics, understanding things fundamentally. Sometimes some of these players, you know, they're coming straight out of high school, whether it's AAU ball or, you know, just playing 1 year of college ball. Younger players need to master skills. They can't overlook any of those facets of the game. I mean, being fundamentally sound, that's paramount.
Yeah, because you have to start somewhere with the basics. We all started out learning to dribble, pass, and shoot, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first game, I wasn't dribbling behind my back. We weren't shooting three-point shots.
Uh-huh.
So you got to go back to the basics whenever you're trying to improve or do something. Like whenever I was in a shooting slump, I always went back to basics. Face the basket. Don't shoot across your body. Elbows straight. Fingertips. So this is what Field is trying to get these players to go back to basics, man. On the defense, see the ball, see it, man. These are the little things that make you into a champion. So they are really focusing on the basics of the game.
And, of course, you have got to be unified defensively. I mean, you've got to be able to be giving out 100% effort on the defensive end of the floor. We're not just talking about refining your offensive skill sets or not necessarily, you know, talking about, you know, coming down, headhunting, setting good screens, but really you got to take care of business on the defensive end of the floor in order to be, what we're talking about, being a relevant team.
And it doesn't matter what sport. Look at football. What's the champion? Seattle. What was it? The catalyst? Defense.
That's right. You bet.
Look at the Spurs. What's the, they're the champion. What's the catalyst? Defense. Teamwork. So you can't get away from that. Everyone focuses on talent in the NBA, the big three, the big two, and all of this. But the essence of the game is still teamwork. You've got to have a team. You must play defense. And that hasn't changed in the 70s when we played. That's what our two championships were built upon. Teamwork and exquisite defense.
You are listening to the voice of the great Walt Clyde Frazier, Knicks legend, basketball Hall of Famer. He is the television analyst for MSG Network, coverage of the New York Knicks. And it is interesting. You know, you just talked about even the Spurs. And with Phil Jackson, with Derek Fisher, now with the triangle offense, I mean, obviously there's perpetual motion. There's some similarities there in terms of how San Antonio ran things offensively and perhaps what you guys are going to be doing offensively as well, correct?
What we'll be trying to do. Whether that happens or not is another story. Obviously, Melo is the catalyst. He has to make it work. He has to be the guy that moves the ball and make it contagious for the other players. So if he doesn't do it, then it's not going to happen. So like he's dedicated himself to getting in superb conditioning, I think he also has to focus on that he has to be the guy to try to hit that open man, go out of his way to make it more of a team game.
Well, yeah, because you want everybody to touch the ball. You want to work it around the horn. And so the onus is not so much on Carmelo. When that fourth quarter rolls around, he's going to be fresh and ready, and he can make some of those game-winning shots.
Yeah, the operative word is trust. The word that they use today in the game, you got to trust your teammates. No one guy's going to do it. No two guys, no three guys are going to do it. Go ask Miami. You got to have a basic team concept in order to win and be a champion. So Melo has to realize that, so do the other Knicks players.
Okay, for the New York Knicks, the big trade that went down in the month of June, late June, was with the Mavericks and moving Tyson Chandler, Felton to Dallas in exchange for Jose Calderon, Samuel Dalembert, and Shane Larkin. So from some of those names that I just rattled off, I mean, who is the guy immediately that comes to your mind that could really step in and be that immediate difference maker?
Calderon. We had trouble in the backcourt. That's why Felton is gone. They weren't happy with his orchestration or his defensive prowess, so they wanted to change that up. So Calderon is a guy that is very shrewd, clever, slick. He can run an offense. He's a lethal three-point shooter. So I think he's the key guy in that trade. But, you know, you saw in the summer league, Larkin. I like Larkin. He's diminutive, 5'9", but very quick, and the Knicks need some quickness in their backcourt to go with Calderon and Prigioni. And he's a good defender, so I think he's also going to help our team. And Dalembert, of course, just a rebounder. He's not a guy that really scores, but the Knicks have lacked that tenacity, and I think that's why they gave up on Chandler. Chandler had been injured most of the last two seasons, wasn't the same defensive player, so Dalembert should fit into the system well.
Well, let me back up for a moment. Since you mentioned Shane Larkin, I mean, I certainly was impressed with his play out in summer league. But were you surprised how well offensively that the guys ran the triangle offense?
Somewhat, but I think it's the character of the players and the system that you come from that they blended well in the playoffs. But I also give credit to the Knicks coaches. I think they're really stressing the importance of that triangle offense, trying to get the players to buy into it. But essentially, we're creatures of habit. So if you look at our teams in the 70s, we personified teamwork. You can't mention Frazier without Bradley, without DeBusschere, without Reed, without Barnett. But if you look at the background of those players, other than Barnett, who was always a gunner, you know, he fit into that system. But the other players, for instance, high school, this is how I played the game. Hit the open man, move the ball, play defense, and Reed was the same way, DeBusschere, Bradley. So it was a little more easy for us to conform to that system. Whereas today's players, And I often talk to Oscar Robertson and some of the former greats. We think the players don't really work on the basic fundamentals of the game. So that today the game is entertainment. You know, the focal point is the three-point shot and the dunk and the run and gun. This is what they yeah. want to play, how they want to play, because of ratings, because of the young people, because of the video games. So a lot of the emphasis of the game has kind of changed in that respect, and I think that's why the basics of the game now is not important as when we played the game in the 70s.
Well, that goes back to my earlier point in that interview that you had with Phil Jackson. Give me a hit on Tim Hardaway Jr., because what he's entering his second season with the Knicks. He's certainly impressed at Summer League, and I think he's a really special player.
Yeah, he is, and he's as good a player as he is, he's a good person. So I give his dad kudos, Tim Hardaway Sr., the way he raised his son. He's very mannerable, polite. He's very coachable. What he has to improve, and if he does, if he improves his defense, the Knicks are not going to be able to keep him out of the starting lineup. He gives them quickness in transition, a guy that can finish. You know, he has those spectacular dunks once he gets out. He has a three ball. He makes big shots. He's not afraid of the big shots in the moment. So, like you, I think this kid is on the threshold of greatness.
Well, he was incredible. He averaged almost 23 points per game in Summer League. And the good news, if you're a Knicks fan, he is only 22 years of age. And you're talking about his daddy, just the wonderful influence that he's had. I have to tell you what, Walt, I enjoyed sitting next to and listening to his mom cheer on her son out there. I mean, she really gets into the game. Have you had a chance to spend some time with her?
No, I haven't. I usually just see Tim because I think he's scouting with the Heat.
Yeah.
So I normally run into him a lot, but not the mom.
My final question for you is just your impression of having Derek Fisher on board. A number of burning questions in terms of with that triangle offense, but just the impact that he's going to be able to have with this young roster.
Well, I must say I'm surprised that Phil, we talked about him understanding the nuances of New York, the culture, that he would bring in a rookie coach.
Mm-hmm.
It can be overwhelming. We saw what happened to Jason Kidd early on. They did not get off to an auspicious start, the criticism, and that's what Fisher is up against here, even though Phil is behind him, but Phil is not the coach. So he must really respect Fisher and what he can bring to the game, his 17 years of experience as an NBA player. So, you know, I like his concept. I said during the summer league, I was very impressed with the organization of the Knicks coaches, how they organize the guys, how they galvanize the guys to fit into that system, to get them to play the triangle, move the ball, don't worry about scoring, be a defensive player, work on your weakness, whatever you can do to help this team thrive. This is what we want you to do. So, but again, you know, New York is a place that can overwhelm. We talked about the expectations and how people wanted to win. It's not enough to win in New York,
mm-hmm.
especially now with Phil Jackson. They won a championship. And that's what the focal point is here. And there's right now, I don't see them as a championship contender for another year or so. So Fisher's got to try to get to win the fans here, first of all, because everyone is sitting back waiting to see, just like with any rookie. Like a rookie player, you've got to prove yourself. So this is where Fisher is now. We know about what he brings to the game, but now can he take his game to the next level as a coach?
You've been listening to the voice of Walt Clyde Frazier, ranked among the NBA's 50 all-time greatest players. He is beloved by millions of fans as one of the most colorful personalities to have ever graced the game. A two-time NBA champion, number 10. What an honor it is to have you with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much, Walt. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR.